Good morning, everyone. Hello, how are you? I'm just going to move this slightly. Hopefully I don't knock the glass, but that's good. We've got there. As you all may know, or you might not, my name is Tom Keneally, and it's good to finally be here. Me and my family, or my family and I should say, are finally resetting up home here with you all, and that is good news. That's exciting news, at least for us, whether it is for you or not. but we're really glad to be here. So as I say welcome to you today, just also know that we are receiving and giving welcome alongside you. But whether you're online or in person, whether you've been connecting with RCC for a long time or you're new here, we welcome you today. And it's a good thing. I know some of you may know me a bit better than others. You may know a bit more of my story, but I feel a fair few may not know the full detail or the full context of my faith story, of my life, and all those sorts of things, which I'm sure will rectify as time goes on. But whenever that happens, if you don't have the full details of someone, you start making assumptions about them, right? And they might not necessarily be assumptions that are harmful. You might assume, for mere example, that I had a fairly simple family life growing up, and that's not necessarily true. It's not harmful, but it's not necessarily true. And we do the same thing with God often as well. If we don't have the full details or the full context of his story, we start making assumptions. I know I did, at least, when I was growing up, when I was trying to figure out this God thing and what it was all about and how it impacted my life. One of the biggest assumptions I probably made was that God was just sitting there waiting for me to mess up and ready to punish me. It doesn't even matter, didn't even matter what it was or if I really understood I was messing up. He was just waiting there, sitting. Thankfully, I'm glad to say that that's not close to the truth at all. But we make these assumptions, which is why we're doing this series to begin a new year. We're learning more and more about who God is. And we might be kind of hitting some of the basics in this series, and that's okay, because we can still learn some new things from basics, even if you've heard it anyway. And so today we're going to start with God is life, and then we'll move through God is life, light, and love. But I'm also not sure that I'm the only one who does this about God, who makes these assumptions. And I don't know about you, but maybe the assumption is that God fixes everything for people he loves more. Maybe it's that God loves certain people better than others, depending on how they dress or how they act. I don't know what it is for you. And it could be a million other different things, right? It could be so many things. But that's what we're here to do today, is to learn more about God. And so what's the best way for us to learn more about God is going to the best source, the Bible. The Bible is, if you don't know, I'm terrible with slides, so I will skip through some. But that's all right, we'll get there. But the Bible is God's self-revelation to us. It's God writing a letter to us in a way that we might understand who he is better. It's like having a conversation with him so that we can learn more about who he is from his own perspective. And we're going to learn about God from the Gospel of John today. And there's a couple of key passages in there, but we'll start with the start of John. So it's going to be easy to find today if you don't know where that is. If you're not familiar with the Bible or anything like that, the Gospels are basically biographies of Jesus' life and ministry. And there's four of them. John is the last one of those. And we're starting right at the start of John. We're starting John chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll work a bit through today. Now, the author John was also believed to be one of Jesus' close disciples, so he knows a lot about what Jesus and God is like. On the topic of life, there's no one better. In the New Testament, John is credited with over half of the words life in the New Testament. So he seems to know a lot, and so that's where we're going to learn from today. And so we're going to learn John 1, verse 1. It starts with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." In these two verses is a whole bunch to unpack, and we don't have the time today to do it much justice and get to where we want to focus on. However, we do need to understand some of it to fully appreciate who God is and how it relates to life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What John is saying here without really pausing and dwelling on it is he's describing that this Word is with God. It has to be separate from God. It's two separate things. You can't be necessarily just with yourself in a room. I guess you could be by yourself in a room, but you wouldn't say you're with yourself in a room necessarily. So it is this distinct entity from God. And in the way the original wording is as well, it also actually describes them being in relationship together. They are facing each other is the way the words kind of describe it. So that these two entities of God and the Word are in engaged and intentional relationship with one another. They are facing towards each other. But then God says, John says something that feels entirely opposite in the next breath. He says that the Word is God, or the Word was God. The Word was God, but the Word was with God. And this is one of those things we don't necessarily have the proper time to fully flesh out. But John is saying that these two separate entities or persons are both God, and they are both the same God at the same time. And that's really kind of confusing. And we'll get into that more as the year goes on and on, I believe. But you add in the Holy Spirit as well, and you get this idea of the Trinity, where it's three persons but one God, and that's really weird and confusing, and that's okay if you're confused by it at the moment. But we need to kind of highlight that this idea of three persons, one God, is important for our thoughts today. We also see at the start of this verse and the next verse as well, that in the beginning, the Word was with the Father. So in the very beginning, the Word was with the Father. So verse 3 and 4 continue on saying, "Through him all things were made. With him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." We come to find out that not only was the Word in the beginning with God, or Jesus, if you don't know who the Word is, later on if you read ahead in John, it's Jesus is the Word. Not only do we find that he's at the beginning, but he was an active agent. Through all things were created through him. And as such, in him was life. God is life. And it doesn't mean to say that life was something just inside him, like you might say that person has a caring heart in them. It's saying that life is a part of who God is. But what does that actually mean for us? What does God being life look like? What can we see of it, even though we might not be able to see all of it? And how does it affect us? Which is all good questions. In our passage today, it starts with "in the beginning," and that is an excellent place to start, and that's where we're going to today. So we're going back to the first few chapters of Genesis. And we see the creation story unfold. At first, we are told the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the abyss or the deep. So in both these accounts, in Genesis and in John, we have something deeply important that we might miss if we rush too fast, because it's just kind of mentioned and then more things kind of draw your attention to it. But we see in John that and Genesis, that God in all his persons has existed from before the time of creation. We see in John, Jesus, or the Word, and the Father in that time before creation. And we see in Genesis, the Father and the Holy Spirit before creation. The Trinity was there together before creation and during the act of creation. God being life means that God has always had life or existence. Before any other thing had life or existence. And that is important to recognize, that life is again a part of who God is, and it cannot be separated from him forever. We also see the life, that God being life means that he has a life within himself. And what I mean by that is he's in dynamic relationship with himself. He lives within a community, a perfect community of the Trinity, who are self-sufficient. They are receiving and giving and meeting all their own needs together. They don't need anything apart from themselves. So all their actions that we can observe are them living out of who they are, not what they need. They don't need anything. So God is forever alive, and God is also forever living relationally with one another. From this life of community, this community life that they share, God then proceeds further into Genesis, into the creation story, and brings about order out of this dark nothingness, this abyss or the deep that's described. And to do so, he gives life. He brings life to the heavens and the earth. He brings life to the stars, to the oceans, to the land, the animals. And finally, he gives proof of his mastery over life. He creates his masterpiece. He creates us. He creates people in his image. And because they are made in his image, they will look somewhat like him. They will desire to live in dynamic relationship with one another and ideally with him. God is the source of all life. And we see later in John that Jesus describes himself as the bread of life and the resurrection and the life and the truth, the way and the life. Jesus isn't shy about letting you know he's the source of life and he's the one to go to. So God is forever alive, God is forever in relational life, and God is the source of all life. After God grants us life, creating us in his image and calls us a good work, he gives us free will alongside it. And then as a thank you to this, we turn our back on him. We turn our back on life. And in doing so, we sin and we choose the only other option available to life, which is death. And we sentence ourselves to this death. But because God is life, he values life. See, I suck at slides, but it's all right. He values life and not death. So he doesn't leave us there in our deathbed. Instead, he creates a miracle of life, and the Word, or Jesus, comes down to be with us as God among us, as a man as well. In doing so, through his death and resurrection, we have a chance at new life. And to sum up some of these elements that we're wanting to highlight today, of God being life and things we can see, it means that God is forever alive, God is forever living relationally, God is the source of all life, and God gives us new life. So the whole idea of this story, and this is a lot of what the Bible is kind of talking about, is that this God who creates you and me and everything around us hates to see us die. He hates to see that we've chosen to turn away from life and into death, and is extending himself to you. He's extending life to you. And so the only question I can't really answer about God being life is, what do you want to do about that? How will you respond? And as I see it, we have three options if you've never made this choice, and realistically, you have three options even if you have. You can either accept new life and choose to follow the way of new life and all that means and what that changes for you. And if that's the case, I'd love to talk to you about it and talk to you further about what accepting new life means. Or you can reject it. You can choose to turn away from life and into death. Or you have a third option. And that option's not going to stay around forever, but it's there. And it's the option of exploring it, exploring what life means, what new life means. And it's a hard option because how do you start that? How do you learn where to discover and those sorts of things? What it means to live life in relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to discuss today as well, is my challenge for this week is learning a new way to discover who God is and discover what new life means for you. And realistically, the question and answer are fairly simple. How do you get to know someone in a relationship? It's pretty easy. You get to know who they are and what they value. And so, and you put yourself in a situation where you learn those interests and those values, right? And that's what we're doing today. And we know from today, we've talked about that God values life. He values creation. So, that's what I'm challenging you to do. Put yourself in a situation where you see life and reflect on it. For me, that more often than not looks like being in nature. We know that God loves creating and he created nature. And so when I'm in nature and I can reflect on God, the one who created it, it draws me closer to him. It may look very different for you. Maybe for you, it's holding a baby. Please get the parents' permission, but grab a baby. You can choose one of mine. and hold them and reflect on the miracle that is life and the hardships that can even be, but also the beauty of it. And what does that say about God? It might be a million different things, but what I ask of you this week is choose one thing and connect with it and then purposefully reflect on what it says about God being life. If God is life is true, what does this new thing mean for you? And I'm not sure about you, but when I enter into healthy relationships, they always lead me to grow. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is enter into a healthier relationship with God. And they help you grow. And can you imagine if we move forward all together, everyone somewhat separately, but together, moving forward in relationship with God? Can you imagine what that would look like for you? The growth that could happen, the new life and the new growth. Or maybe what it would impact in your family or your workplace. As you grow a bit closer to the source of all life, how could you not be more joyful, more life-giving to all those around you? And for our community around this church as well. We want to be a church that impacts our community, and this is one way to do that as well. That new life brings new life into community as well. Alrighty, let's pray to wrap up and then we'll sing a song together. Dear God, thank you so much that you are life, that you gladly share life with us, that even though we have sentenced ourselves to death and turned away from your life, that you extend yourself to us again, you strive for us, that you strive to give us life again. We ask that we see you clearer this week, that you help us be bold and confident in seeking you in new and individual ways. We ask that you love us, and we see that clearer.
Daddy.
Hold on, sweetie. Hold on. We ask that you help us see you clearer this week and that you would change our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.